Come on. Cord. No, it doesn't want to record because it's. Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women. I have the pleasure today of introducing you all to Maisha Hoy. Maisha is a marketing guru. She's an entrepreneur, a blogger, a podcaster like myself, and a speaker. She's the CEO of BSHG, which manages and markets customer first marketing. Maisha's lemonade stand is another one of her entrepreneurial brands, and she believes in the entrepreneurial spirit, and all her companies are created with the philosophy of Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, which I personally love. Give, 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 right? Enable. Her mission is to create wealth opportunities for herself, family, and her clients through the spirit of entrepreneurship and marketing know-how. She started Maisha's Lemonade Stand as a way to fulfill that mission. Since 2012, she has monetized and built the blog up to year-over-year growth with posts and advertisers that focus on the wealthy, wise, and healthy and inspire entrepreneurs. With her company, Customer First Marketing, Maisha has developed marketing programs for startups to mid-size organizations, all with limited budgets and resources in very competitive and innovative marketplaces. She believes that successful marketing programs begin with the assessment of the business from the customer's point of view and then developing the marketing action plans. Totally get that. Her third company, her third company is Kubob, a Black-owned brand marketplace that amplifies Black-owned brands as part of her mission to work with and create ecosystems of Black economic power, which also I love. Welcome, Maisha. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks,
Yay!
Julie. Thanks for having me. This is great. I forgot that bio.
Yeah. I'm pretty dang good. Yeah. I think we all should say that to ourselves.
Exactly.
I did not grow up with an entrepreneurial spirit. I kind of got forced into entrepreneurship. So, but my sister and her husband, they have an entire family of entrepreneurs. You can't have a dinner table conversation without saying, "Oh, that could be a business." You know, so I get the mindset, but tell me a little bit more about how did you start to realize, or when did you start to realize that you had that same entrepreneurial spirit?
So that's interesting. I had my first was this is years ago when you would go sell wrapping paper, and I would go in the neighborhood and sell wrapping paper. But I took the traditional route. I went to Hampton University, graduated with a marketing degree, and work. And I always say that it's more responsibility. I had the budget, but by the time I was director of marketing at a company called Microlink. A wonderful company called Microlink that was acquired two times. The first time, so there you go. The first time, we went through what I call fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that is when I finally, I was going into work. My inbox wasn't full, my plate wasn't full. And I said, why not see if you can get a good severance package and do this on your own, right? Because one of the great things at Microlink that we were able to do was I had a great vice president of sales who worked directly with the delivery. We did Microsoft services. So it was delivery, sales, and marketing all working together. And I said, if I could teach companies, especially startups, to start that way, that decrease silos and make it a collaborative effort, I can make a lot of money. So I went into my boss and I was like, you know what? I don't want to go through this. I'm not doing anything. It's hard for me to sit on my heels. I want to be honest. Let's talk about a good severance package. And that's how I started. That was the thing. I didn't have a website, didn't have a business plan, didn't have any other things. So my Maisha Lemonade Stand was a WordPress site that I could get my ideas out there. This was the beginning of social media, so I was able to, overshare everything, and that's where I started my entrepreneur journey.
So what is so it sounds to me like the things that were inside of you that kind of prompted you this way was, I've been there, done that with this whole takeover stuff. I know the right way to get it done. I've experienced this particular way to get marketing, sales, and delivery done that really helps the customer and makes a seamless delivery of our products. And I'm bored. If you're not going to keep me busy, let me go. I've got a lot of ideas. I've got a lot of drive. And so, were those kind of the three internal kind of elements that were eating at you before when you came up with this idea?
I don't say bored. I do say that, and this is something I realized that I've actualized. I like a challenge, right? I like the next thing. The best thing about marketing is it changes like almost as fast as the internet changes. So I don't like to be in positions where I'm not learning something or I'm growing or, I'm taking old stuff with new stuff and applying it to in a new way. So it's not boredom. It's just, where's the challenge? Where's my next challenge going to come from? But the
There you
other two are
go.
right. I can, we were double-digit growth always year over year because we all work together. And if I can apply that to companies that I consult with or that I'm working with, it's like we'll grow.
That's wonderful. Now, do you work mostly with startups or smaller companies? Because it seems like with that philosophy, it would be hard to go in and change the ways of an established organization, or do you do both?
So I did both. So, and most of it, I work with startups. So let me be clear. I was working with mom and pops. I was going in and I was their marketing department. Unfortunately, it's not as lucrative. So I shifted up to working with bigger companies who, for whatever reason, stopped doing marketing, or their marketing was stagnant, or just something that they need to push, or like you said, the creativity piece of it. I love working with startups. So I will, I work with Operation Hope, which is allows people like myself, senior executives, to go in and, do consulting on a one-on-one basis. So I will work with startups, but I prefer the niche of you got somewhere and you don't know how to keep going, or you stopped and I need to restart you up again.
So it's that challenge piece that again comes
Again.
back. I love that. That's your red thread. That is your hook. I love that. When you can pinpoint that in yourself, it's what makes me jazzed up. Of all of the careers, all of the jobs I've had, all the things that I do, what jazzes me up? When you find that, that's really your passion. People, they freak out because they don't have a passion. Oh, I need a passion. Blah, blah. No, just do what you really, really like to do. Sometimes it doesn't
And get
have to be
paid
that big
for
of a
it.
deal and get paid for it for sure. Absolutely. And so tell me a little bit about more about your personal journey. So you've got these three companies now, and we'll get back to the other two as we move along. But tell me a little bit about your personal journey. What kind of ha have been the triggers or the experiences that have really formed your wisdom as you've gone along in this career?
So it's interesting. My personal journey, my co-host asked me, Maisha, when do you think you started to flourish? And it happened when I had a son who is now 20. But the challenge was I was a single mother, right? So it's like as soon as I said, I'm having a baby, my son's father flew out the door. Like you can see the wind shoosh, in my face. So what does that mean? That means that I had to create a village, right? I had to find protective ways of allowing my son to flourish while doing the duty of a two-parent family, right? So that was one challenge, and I was truly blessed. I say this all the time, and I say this to all my, moms. Find you a village, find your mom that you can trust and rely on, because especially as a single mom, but any mom needs this help. you need someone to support you when you're like, my son is getting on my everlasting nerves. Can you take him? Or I just need to go to the spa. Can you take him? Right. So I was blessed in that sense. I was also, prior to having Amari, diagnosed with colon cancer, and I was pretty young.
Oh my
So I've had to,
goodness.
I was diagnosed when I was 30. And it's funny, I always forget about this part of the story because you see, I started with Amari. I had Amari after that. And I wasn't supposed to have Amari because I went through colon cancer surgery, chemotherapy, and all that stuff.
Oh my
So
goodness.
my attitude to life is one day at a time, and you will just keep moving forward one step at a time, and you will get over all of this. I wish I could impart my energy sometime to people. I'm a very positive, joyous, as I said to my friend Rebecca Sunnybrook sometimes, and I really and kind of lean into the I'm either happy or mad. I don't like the sadness. I don't like all that. But those are the challenges that I had to face. And again, I say this all the time, but I'm truly blessed in the village that I have both my family and my friends. And as I became an entrepreneur, I built a village of entrepreneurs, especially women, because we were going through, well, why can't we get this deal? Or why is this guy talking over me all the time? Why does he have to be the smartest? And right? So you say it.
Oh,
So
honey,
I
I'm
believe in the
61. I know. I've been around,
So
hon.
that's some of my, right. That's some of my, and I, it's funny. I was saying like to my son, I don't know how he got spoiled. I think it's the village and the love and the blessing. But like at some point I remember having $100 in my account and a client hadn't paid me and wasn't going to pay me until he or she was ready to pay me. And I'm like, what, how does this work? So I know that if you stick with it, right, make the opportunities for yourself, you can overcome a lot. One step, 1 hour, 1 minute at a time.
Wow, that was none of that was in your bio, which is why I always ask about the personal journey, because what I have found out is that so many women who have become successful have basically made the choice out of some sort of tragedy or hardship or a life situation where there's disease or having to be a single parent or losing a business or whatever, or being laid off in my case. Whatever the case may be, those challenges are what really cause the wisdom to flourish. And I'm glad I asked you the question about your past. That's great.
Thank you. I appreciate the question.
Why did you name it Myesha's Lemonade Stand? I love that
Lemonade
name.
Stand. Yeah. Well, so it started with, it all starts with your first business, right? And normally your first business is the American iconic lemonade stand on the corner. And as I've grown it, it's about lemons are lemonade is sweet and sour, right? And you got to take them both to create something good. So start them off with the simple, you need a lemonade stand. That's my first business. Let me start it. And then as I went through the pitfalls, and you can read on my blog, clients didn't pay me, my numbers weren't there. I had to stop, restart businesses. All of that is the sweet and sour of being an entrepreneur.
And then you moved into customer first marketing, correct? And
Correct.
you
So
opened
customer
that
first
one?
marketing was, yeah. So customer first marketing is the bread and butter, right? It was my issue when I stand is still, I kind of think of it as like, it's just where I get to be personal with people. Customer first marketing is the business, right?
Got it.
You're gonna pay me a retainer so I can come in and change your marketing and do PR and digital and make your websites beautiful and all that stuff. That's the bread and butter. That's what I get paid for. That's what I'm known for. But I needed the lemonade stand to start to migrate me for a customer first market because I didn't start customer first, quote unquote, until 2 years later.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like you did it the right way. Get the following, determine what you stand for, and then launch in a big way. So
Right.
that's perfect. So now you have another company called QBob.
QBob.
Tell me about that one, and does QBob stand for something?
So QBob stands the three is QBob is Kujichagulia, Ujamaa, and Ujima, which are 3 days of Kwanzaa. So my
Okay.
website is 3 days of Kwanzaa, and the Bob is Black-owned businesses. So it's Q Bob together. And when I started, it was I want. And this is perfect timing because tomorrow is no shopping day for Black folks, which is February
Hey, and
28th.
it's no shopping day tomorrow for us
No
too.
shopping. No,
No
oh, good.
shopping.
We fell up there. No shopping.
No shopping.
I started because, again, the passion of helping entrepreneurs, right? The passion of helping my entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs. We have products at the wazoo. I found a Black-owned brand that owned tooth that made a toothpaste. I was like, oh my God, I am my best customer, unfortunately. That's the problem. But to help to I am, and I am. I noticed that Christmas. But that's the goal of QBot, to highlight these Black-owned brands, to say that, you have choices out there. We have the Colgates, we have Crest, but you also have Straight, STR8. You have opportunities to not only buy, but to support their goals, their mission, their wealth, their journeys. And so it's really important that I get that message out there. And that's what QBob is all about.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I know that, I ha often shop the, I don't know exactly what you would call it, but the companies that pull in and help the women in the third world countries who have a craft, and they will sell their unique things here. And I know that I often will shop in those shops just to support other women, regardless of race. It's just support women because we are disadvantaged in much of the world. Yeah, it's sad. It's
Intentional shopping, purposeful shopping it's important. And
yes,
it
yes.
and I as a marketing person, as an entrepreneur, as whatever, I just get a jazz when a sale comes in, right? It just
Yes.
like, oh my gosh, somebody wants something that I have. So for the way the marketplace works, I am just a middle person who helps other entrepreneurs, right? So I love that someone shops on my site. I get to go on there, make that purchase for them. It's a joyous thing. It's a joyous shopping experience for those of us behind the scenes. And I'm
I
sure you're doing
love
the same
that.
thing for the women that you shop for with.
Oh yes. Well, I try. So have you done any work around building ally communities for your Kubab partners?
What I consider the that's a good question. That's a great question. I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
Because there's so many companies out there similar to what I'm doing and what I'm not, and similar to as part of the mission, so to speak. So
Yeah.
I'm constantly trying to figure out a way to do us work together. But my two biggest partners are Cash Black, what gives you cash back for shopping Black. And they have Afro Affiliate, which I am a big part of. I am able to deliver to these multiple companies hundreds of hits. I'm not sure about purchases, but hundreds of hits to their website. And I'm trying to build that out all the time. I go on podcasts to talk about the Black-owned brand.
I lost you there for a minute, but I'll edit that out. Go ahead and
Okay.
continue.
Oh, no, I was saying, so slowly but surely. Oh, my internet connection is unstable. It says that. It popped out.
Uh-oh. Okay. That's okay. I'll fix
Okay.
it. I mean, this is,
Okay.
this is life.
Okay, exactly.
Right.
So what I was saying that slowly but surely I'm building up the Qbop ecosystem. I would love everyone who's listening, if you have a Black-owned brand, to get on
Yes.
Afroaffiliate. That allows me to sell your brand on to my list.
Perfect. Well, I know that I have had probably at this point 8 or 9 Black-owned business women obviously because of my show, but who I need to introduce you to
Absolutely.
because yeah, the more the merrier, right?
The more
Absolutely.
the merrier.
Yep. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you said you had one son. What do you have any other children?
Just the no, it's 101. And he teases me. What if I was twins, mom? Like, oh my God, I couldn't take it. But I couldn't. I couldn't.
Well, what tell me about what he thinks of you as a business owner.
A great question. Oh my gosh, I should call him. He admires what I do, but what he sees is the diligence and the dedication. That's a great question. I'm gonna ask him next time we get it. We can maybe there's a mom and son podcast, but I
There we
don't
go.
know if he
Yeah.
gets it yet. I don't know if he gets it yet. Right. Again, when I said earlier that I can't imagine him being so spoiled because he's with me being so broke sometimes, but he's only seen the good. It's just recently, this is a great question, that I start sharing the bad. Right. Because I was so scared as a single mom to tell the true story. Right. I'm dealing with your father's not around. I'm not making enough money, but it was always light for him. I just started because I want him to be financially responsible to share some of the things I had to do. I had to learn to budget. I had to live by that budget. I had to hustle a little bit. I had to go back to work when I needed some cash. There's certain things I didn't
Yeah.
share with him that I'm sharing now. So it'd be interesting for me to ask that question in 3 months.
Well, the reason why
Great
I ask
question.
is the reason why I ask is because, a lot of times we do try to shield our children, even if we're not entrepreneurs, but we want to shield our children. I have always found that because I became a single mom when my kids were 16 and 13. So they were already kind of at the point that I could say to them, look, I just don't have it this month. I'm sorry, you can't go to whatever thing, right? And it really helped them get a good, I guess, grounding in reality before they then moved out on their own. So both of them, I have to say, are incredibly fiscally responsible, more than me. But I'm really, really proud that they were able to learn that lesson, just watching me work.
That's good. I'm glad you did that. I'm late to the game, but I'll catch up.
Oh no, just make him do his own laundry.
Oh, no. He's been doing his own laundry since
There you go.
he was 5.
Woo,
We
good
had to
for
have
you.
I could not, and when you became the single mom, you can't do everything,
Oh
right? So he knows how to
no.
cook, he knows how to do laundry, that whether he does it on time when I want him to is another story, but he knows how.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, and the other thing too is, being an entrepreneur, a lot of people think that it's easier and that you're more free, and you are in some certain circumstances, but I think it's actually harder. And I spend more hours than I ever did working corporate, right? So, getting the real picture of the ups and downs, like you were saying, of here's the real story. Sometimes it doesn't go your way, and sometimes you might have to, go bag groceries for a while to keep the business going. You never know, but
You gotta
it's
do what you gotta do.
you gotta do
Right.
what you gotta do. And one of the things that I find interesting is that women will cop to that more than men will. So if they're, if they're an entrepreneur and all of a sudden they have to go and get a quote unquote real job. They always say it that way. It's funny. Go get a real job for a while to have some cash infusion. Women will say that. They'll tell people that. Men generally won't. And it's really interesting to me that that happens. I'm glad you brought it up for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky again with the village of the entrepreneur village that I'm able to share, so, and I was also with part of a different podcast where we talked about the highs and lows, and those men were really forthcoming. Like
Well, good.
if your friends have purchased everything, then it's time for you to get new people, new friends, or new market, new products.
For sure. Well, so what is the thing that you are the most proud of in what you've built so far? And notice I said so far.
Yeah, I'm just proud that one, that my son is happy, number one, that he's always lands on happy. That's part of our family mantra. That I'm still here, right? I'm still passionate about what I'm doing. I'm still passionate about building ecosystems. I'm still passionate about talking to people, sales, and all that stuff. But I would say the most thing is I'm proud that I'm still here. Like, I can't believe how long it's been, but it could have been different, right? When the lows hit, I could have stopped, or I could have said, I'm not doing this. In this, the one third of my life, I'm glad that I'm able to apply my marketing skill set to helping causes. Now I'm working with mental health. I work with helping, I don't want to say Black people, but Black people thrive. I've done those two things because I've built this career where I know what I'm doing and I can do well. So I'm really proud of those three things.
To me, that is the definition of a wise woman, is when you've built up enough of that knowledge that it's replicable and that you're comfortable with that, but you're always still learning and you can share. You have that bandwidth to share. And I think that makes a wise woman. But I have one more question for you before I get into my final three. The final question that I have for you is, what would you say to a young woman, a young Black woman coming out of college or coming out of high school who really, really wants to be an entrepreneur?
Go for it. Go for it. And I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's easy to start these days. You just need a TikTok channel. You just need a YouTube channel. You just need a product and a market. Don't listen to us. Listen to yourself. Now, one thing I will say is I've worked on listening to my instinct, right? I when my instincts were telling me one way or the other, I should have listened. So go for it. Let your instincts be your guide. But like Julie said, keep learning, and keep learning.
Thank you very much. That's perfect. Okay, so this last three questions are quick. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And when I say wise woman, observe what happens, what picture appears in your head, and then open your eyes and tell me what she looks like and what she is.
What picked up, what showed in my head was an African queen and all her royalty, only because we don't talk about them enough, but they knew who they were. They were strong. They were warriors. The woman king that just popped up again, and they were able to, right? They were able to make it happen despite sexism, racism. And I don't know what you call it when military thinks you can't fight, but whatever that ism is. And they were able to do it. That's a wise woman to me.
100%.
Warrior.
And the whole reason why I started this whole wise woman, this whole podcast and my intuitive wisdom coaching is because I had a vision of a wise woman And I started thinking, for me, it was a Cherokee Indian woman, a little pudgy. She's the medicine woman. She's the one that holds the community together when the braves go off to war. She's the one that takes care of the women in childbirth and helps them get the help that they need and build their community when they have children. She's the one that, when push comes to shove, she'll freaking get out there with a spear and defend her village. Absolutely. That vision, that wise woman is in every single culture in the entire world and has been from the very beginning of
Absolutely.
time. So that's why I do all this. So it was great to hear you say the king, the woman king. Absolutely, 100%. So
That's
two
awesome. I
more.
like your wise woman too.
Oh,
Oh,
I
okay.
like all of our wise women. You don't have to close your eyes anymore. So
Oh.
where do you like to roam, Misha?
So the best thing for me is car and drive. Just drive, and it's I it's a great time for me to talk to people online. Those podcasts I want to listen to. So my favorite thing is get in the car, go for a road trip. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, that's my whole life, so I love it. What makes you restless in a good way?
That's why I love.
Okay, our internet connection got a little unstable again there. Are you there?
Laptop. Maybe
Okay.
that'll help. I'm glad you're a good editor.
Oh, yes.
Hopefully that's better.
Great. Okay, so now your last question. What makes you restless in a good way?
The challenge. When I was that to-do list is real, right? So I love, it's not good because I don't get enough sleep, but I love when I can't sleep because an idea comes in my head or a thought or something, and I'm like, I must do something with this right away. Now, I'm not going to send an email right away. I'll do the scheduling thing. But if the idea comes, I get so jazzed by figuring it out, right? I get so excited when I'm like, oh, this is what we should do. This is what the message should be. This is what the brand is going to be. It makes me restless, but I love it.
Absolutely. I get those mind flashes as well. And when I do get them and I can't write them down really quick, it's really hard for me. I keep just paper laying around everywhere so I can write my ideas as they come. There we go.
My note phone is my friend, is my friend.
Absolutely. Well, Maisha, thank you so much for speaking with me today and for speaking to our listeners out here. How can people get a hold of you and learn about your businesses and get in touch with you?
Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me on
Okay.
LinkedIn. Maisha Be Hui on LinkedIn. It's the best place. It's kind of where, and that we all do this. Everything kind of sits in LinkedIn. But if you're interested in Black-owned brands, it's QBob. If you like just to get inspired by being an entrepreneur, Maisha's Lemonade Stand. If you want to hire me for consulting, it's Customer First Marketing, but start with LinkedIn.
Perfect. All right. I'll make sure all of that gets in the show notes. Thank you all for joining, and Maisha, we'll see you the next time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun and great and informative.
Yeah, it's fun. Talk to you soon.